And so let's welcome the saints as they join us today. Hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Lord, we just receive your great peace and your great joy because you're our peace and you're our joy. And by faith, we just receive, not based on a circumstance, not based on a situation, not based on an emotion. You're our joy and you're our peace. And all the saints said, amen. Thank you. You just joined the end of our pregame ministry time, but the game's on right now. This is a series called Kingdom Heroes, and man, we've been taking a good look at Caleb, and in this sermon today, we're going to teach you how to name your mountain, and some of us got wrong names on our mountain, and it's important to name your mountain what God names it. Okay, to say about your mountain what God says about your mountain. And so that's very, very important. Now, this series we've dedicated to pastors. We love pastors, minister to pastors. And today we're dedicating this sermon to Keith and Gretchen Wolf, precious pastoral team in East Texas. And they are pastoring the First Baptist Church in Barnum, Texas. I hope I got that right. I believe it's right. Barnum, Texas. I know where it's at. I just want to be sure and get the name right. And so, Lord, we just bless First Baptist Church, Barnum, Texas, today. In the name of Jesus, great peace and great joy fill the house, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Keith and Gretchen. Lord, just thank you for touching them with health and wholeness and the overwhelming of your spirit today. And, Lord, we give you praise for their lives, their victory, their testimony. And we give you thanks for Pastor Keith and Gretchen and First Baptist Barnum. And all the people said, amen. Amen. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Now, you know, one of the benefits for living in the concrete city is that Six Flags is close by. And I want to tell you, you know, when you raise up some little ones in the concrete city, I looked for every opportunity to get them to the country because I was raised in the country. But I want to tell you, take advantage of the benefits of what's around you. Six Flags was a benefit. And I want to tell you, when they were early on, I would buy season passes for Six Flags. And, man, I'd take them little fellas to Six Flags as father-son dates. And sometimes I'd take both of them, and sometimes I'd take one of their buddies, or sometimes I'd take one at a time and just make it a special father-son date. But I want to tell you, we weren't at Six Flags for very long. And the little fellas began to look at those roller coasters and say, I want to do that. And that became a vision and dream. I said, we're going to do that. We're going to ride that roller coaster. And so one of the things that I would do, just as soon as they got old enough, or, you know, at Six Flags it was tall enough. I don't know if you remember. I don't know if they do it now, but the people walk around with a stick and measure you, you know. And but one of the things I would do is I would always take them to where the ride ended. Because this is why we need to have a vision of heaven. And we need to see the victory side. But I would take them where the ride ended. And I would have them watch the people coming off the ride and celebrating how great it was. And how much fun it was. And what a blast. And they want to do it again. And saying stuff like the best ride ever. And man, they'd be pumped up. Dad, we're going to do that. And I'll never forget, Zachary John was the oldest and so the tallest first. And so, you know, I took him to get in the line. And lo and behold, you know, because just as soon as we thought it could happen, we were going to make it happen. Lo and behold, the guy with the stick came by and said, he's too short. I said, oh, no, that ain't going to happen, man. You know, we've already talked this up. We've already done the pregame, okay? This ain't going to happen. He said, sir, he's too short. And I'm looking at it, it just so close. I said, man, come on now. Let's get over here on this hill or something. He said, no, sir, I can't do that. I said, I'll be back. We left Six Flags, went home, put on his cowboy boots and his cowboy hat, and we came back. And so we walked up to the guy, and I said, right here. Measure us now. He said, okay, we got to take the hat off. I said, no problem. He took the hat off, and with the boots, his cowboy boots on, he said, well, I said, come on now. He said, okay, he's right. And so we got on that ride, and man, here we go. We're in line, and it's a long line. And man, the longer we stand in line, the little nervous little fella gets. And he begins to say, Dad, you know, we don't have to do this today. Dad, maybe we ought to go and try this another day. No, buddy, we're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. Okay. And so we get up there, and sure enough, man, we get on the line. And I can't remember which one it was, but it was one that would back all the way up first. I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, we happen to be in the back seat. And we get on there, and he's saying, Dad, and I'm a little scared, Dad. I don't know if I want to do this. I said, listen, man. In about 2.5 minutes, because you wait a couple hours for 2.5 minutes. And I said, in about 2.5 minutes, you're going to go from being scared to celebrating. I said, this 2.5 minutes, whatever it takes, is going to be worth you being in victory today. Now, boy, I'm saying all this, and the Holy Spirit's just ministering to me. But I want to tell you, sure enough, we get on there, and he's all hugged up next to me, and, you know, wanting to be, hold me, Dad. And man, that thing start backing up, and we get up there close to the top. He said, Dad, I want to get off here. And it was everything I could say, I want to get off too. But I didn't do it. And man, that thing started off. Man, it started off fast too. There wasn't no warm up to it. It started off fast. And the next thing you know, man, that thing's over with. And we're off that event, and we're walking out of there, and he's gone from crying, get me off here, and holding on to me. He gets off here, and he liked it. Yeah! Yeah! I rode that thing, I guarantee you. And he said, Dad, let's do it again. And I said, okay. And we did. And boy, in the line, you should have heard him this time. I've already rode this. This is a fun ride. And some older people were saying, well, we're a little nervous about it. It ain't nothing to it. Boy, he was bold. He was proclaiming the victory. Do you understand what's happening here? Well, I want to tell you, your journey is going to come across some events. You're going to be on a ride sometime, and you're going to say, I want off of here. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of scared. But I want to tell you something. If you just hang on, I want to say for a few minutes, but it may be a few months. It may be a few years. It may be a few seasons. But I want to tell you, you'll come off of this on the other side. Yeah. A victory in Jesus. A testimony for others. An overcomer. A conqueror. A more than conqueror. To be a great encouragement to other people in the journey. And I want to tell you, God has this for you. Now, sometimes this happens and you know, we see our mountains. And we see the mountain that God's promised us. And part of the problem is that we see through fear, through man's eyes, and not through God's view, God's eyes. So when God showed them the promised land, he was giving them the promises of victory and overcoming in a great land with great blessings. When they looked at the mountains and when they looked at the land, number one, they saw the ites. The ites were the enemies, and they were spread all around the land. I mean, when you read about where all the ites were, they were in every part of the promised land. And then when it showed the mountains, you know, the mountains had fortified cities and had warriors that were giants. And so you understand what happened when the 10 spies reported. They reported, And they admitted that it was a blessed land, but then they got to focusing on that there were great giants and there were fortified cities. And so they named the promised land as a land that would eat you up. Well, I want to tell you something. All of us have a mountain, and we have mountains in this journey, and in that mountain are giants and there's fortified cities. Now, it's neat to study the Bible and see the names and see the meanings of the names. And I want to tell you, we have names of giants today. And I want to tell you, your giant has a name. The fortified city, it would be a city that would seem impossible to conquer. You may have things in your life that the world says, maybe your family says, maybe your own thoughts, the enemy is whispering to you to say that you'll never conquer this. This will be with you for the rest of your life. So, what is the name of your mountain? The name of your mountain is not your giant. It's not the giant you face. The name of your mountain is not the fortified city you face. The name of your mountain is the promise from God. There you go. It's the inheritance that He's promised. It's the victory that He's promised. It's the blessing that He's promised. That's the name of your mountain. So you got to look past the giants. You got to look past the fortified cities. And you got to see what God says about your mountain. I'm announcing to you, and it's important for you to capture this in your soul, that beyond the giants in your mountain and beyond the fortified cities in your mountain is your destiny, is your divine purpose. Hey, it's your portion. The other side of your mountain has your portion that God's promised. And so it's important for you to name your mountain the destiny and the inheritance and the promise that God's given you. And it's right there in His Word. So what are the problems you face? It may be finances. Your mountain may be a mountain of debt that just seems impossible. Isn't it amazing how that mountain can grow? It may be your career. You may be saddled with a position or a job that's really not fulfilling, not really meeting the needs of your life, and not really a job that has a future to it. And, you know, it may be your studies. You may be in studies right now, and you may be overwhelmed. We got some teens that have just started college, and I want to tell you, it can be overwhelming, the load of studies that you're facing. It may be your emotions. I want to tell you, like never before in the 40-something years I've had the joy of ministering, never before have I seen so many giants that are emotions. And constantly being overwhelmed by negative thoughts or fears. Man, I want to tell you, those are real. And these giants, sometimes those are fortified cities. It just seems, what do you do? What is there to conquer these? And from God's viewpoint, because this is where we have to back up, and this is what Caleb did, we got to go back to God's view and to what God's Word says. Hey, I want to tell you something. Listen to this. Your mountains are a picture of your inheritance. You have inheritance because you are a joint heir with Jesus. You're a son and daughter of the living God. You're King's kids. This, your mountain is the place of blessing. So we got to rename it. Listen to me. Listen. The fortified cities or the giants, you know what they are? They're your gateways to the promises. The promises for you to possess. Not just say amen to. Too many believers will say amen to a promise and not make it theirs. God wants you to go from saying amen to it to it being a part of your life. And He wants to show you how to do that. The Holy Spirit will show us how to do that. He's given us promises to possess. His promised land is your promised land. And you can see it in simple ways in the Bible. I'm going to try to point out a few of them to you. But listen to this in Exodus 15, 17. God said, he says this, you will bring them to a land and plant them on your own mountain, the place of the Lord. So you need to first of all back up and say, that mountain is the Lord's mountain for me. Lord, you've made this mountain your dwelling, your sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. Understand this, that at your mountain, the place of your mountain is his presence. And he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. It very well may be that that's the place called there for you. Boy, Elijah could preach on that today. I'm working on that in Elijah in the future, but I'm telling you, the place called there, I want to tell you, it's your mountain. There may be giants there, may be fortified cities, but that is the place of your inheritance, and it's a place of blessing, and it's a place where his presence is going to be manifested. It's for you, and you got to go forward. In the New Testament, God's vision is that your mountain is the gate of your inheritance. All the blessing that God's given us through Christ, all these blessings are rightfully yours to claim, to enjoy, and to share. Jesus called it the abundant life. He said, I come that you might have everlasting life and that you might have abundant life. Life to the overflow. His kind of life, the Zoe kind of life to the overflow. Is that beautiful? And so Caleb saw his mountain and he knew that it had giants on it. But he also knew, he saw the inheritance and he saw the blessings, and that's where his focus was. Giant-sized harvest, not giant-sized warriors. The clusters of grapes were so huge and heavy that a single cluster had to be carried on a pole between the shoulders of two full-grown men. He saw a land of abundance because he saw it through Father's eyes. You cannot look at your future through human eyes. You can't look at your future based on the statistics of the world. You got to look at your future through the eyes of your Father that loves you so much. Caleb heard God say, "This is yours." And I want to tell you, that hope was strong in him and never left him. This is what we got to do. We got to hear the Lord put the promises with our name on it and let that hope reside. Numbers 14, 7 and 8. And they said to all the company of the Israelites, the land through which we passed as scouts is an exceedingly good land. That's truth. If the Lord delight in us, and he does, that's an amen statement. If the Lord delights in us, and he does, then he will bring us into the land. He will bring us into the land, and he will give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. That was Caleb's God view report. So are we going to believe the report of the Lord? Are we going to believe the report of the world? Or the report of the enemy? He didn't see a giant populated mountain as a problem. Caleb saw it as his portion. And years later, when he came back, he said, "Give me my mountain." He saw the goodness of God, and he knew Father's heart. Is that great? He had confidence in his Father. Boy, that's what makes a difference. God was not going to let any little giant, notice the way I'm saying this, God was not going to let any little giant stand between Caleb and giant-sized blessings that had his name on it. Oh, my. Oh, my, I'd like to park there. What you got to do, though, is see your mountain like this hero in the kingdom, Caleb, saw his. God wants you to see past your problem areas, your finances, your work situation, your relationships, maybe the sickness that you're fighting. These are places in your life where God wants to lead you into triumph. Grow, overcome, conquer. That's God's heart and God's plan for us. He transforms character. Only he can do that. Hey, he transforms our faith. He builds our confidence in him. Not only does he tell us what he wants, but he helps us get there. He wants us to possess the incredible, impossible according to the world blessings that he's prepared for you. And actually, the Bible says in Psalm 23 that he's chasing you down with. Wow. Now, he wants your cooperation. He loves interaction with you. I know that there's a number of believers, because I hear from them sometime, find them sometime, that are saying, well, if God wants to do it, he'll just make it happen. He knows where I live. Well, it's more to it than that. And rest in the Lord. Sometimes Because we speak about resting in the Lord. Sometimes people misinterpret that. But rest is not inactivity. It's spirit-directed activity. It's seeking the Lord. It's listening to the Lord. It's submitting to the Lord. It's yielding to the Lord. And it's coming to a place of belief in Him. So He wants your cooperation. He loves interaction with you. He loves to take love, hope, and faith and make this a big part of your journey. You will not conquer and possess and occupy your promises without His strength and His wisdom. We got to do it depending on Him. It will not happen with human strength, with human self-effort. Boy, this goes so against this world. This is why you got to be in the Spirit. This is why you got to know the Lord. This is why you got to learn how to respond to Him. But just like Caleb, see past the giants and the mountains and see the promises for you to possess. Because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross, hey, when you said yes to Him, as far as Him being your Savior, you became His child, and you became a joint heir with Jesus. Hey, His blessing is your portion. I'm so thankful that He doesn't deal with us based on our sin. He deals with us based on His Son. Is that great news? Ephesians 1:3 says this, may blessing be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. That us means you if you're in Christ. You could put your name there. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. And sometimes people want to tell me, well, that's talking about just spiritual blessings. It's not talking about where I walk and where I work, my relationship. Yeah, it is. That spiritual is the source. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And He leads us and helps us receive and walk in the blessing in the heavenly realm that Jesus paid for. So what are just some of these blessings? We're just going to cover some real quickly because I want you to see that this is for your life in the now. Some of these blessings, what about success? Now, some people even teach that, you know, God wants you to fail because He wants you humble. Man, that's nowhere I see in Scripture. Okay, I want to tell you everything I see in Scripture is that He's a great, great Father, and He wants to bless you with success. Now, your success is dependent upon Him. And so as you depend on Him, I want to tell you, He promises success. Are anybody in here interested in success? Well, He wants you to do well. Psalm 1:3, here's a picture of how God sees you. And He shall be like a tree, Psalm 1:3. He shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not fade or wither. And everything He does, whoop, there it is. This is, hey, God on you, God in you. This is what this is going to look like. This is how God sees you. He wants you to see yourself as He sees you. And it's just beautiful. Everything He does shall prosper and come to maturity. Is that a beautiful picture? Hey, what about our relationships? I want to tell you, some of our relationships can be very, very toxic. I'm not teaching you anything. You know it's true. You know there's people in your life that are poison to you. That's why every time around them, you kind of get sick on the inside. And you get disturbed and upset. And I want to tell you, if they're either a blessing or a curse when you back it up and take a look. And I want to tell you, even though we minister to all kinds of people in all kinds of situations, I'm telling you that the people that minister into your life, that speak into your life, that you hang with, need to be people that are full of Jesus and that build you and not batter you. Amen. Wow, that's important. He wants you to enjoy healthy, non-toxic friendships and relationships. He wants to surround you with saints, with beautiful believers that will build you up and not tear you down. Ephesians 4:16, for because of Him, the whole body, the church and its various parts, are closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it's supplied. And when each part, with the power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. That's what relationships are supposed to end up as, to help you grow in the Lord. and build you up in his love. Now, hey, sometimes you need to kind of take a little look around you. If there's people, and my wife's not going to like me saying this, but those folk in the country understand what I'm saying. If the people around you are like a tick on a hound dog, just draining the very life and blood out of you, they're not from God. Did I say it clearly? They're not from God. They're takers, not givers. And I want to tell you, God's designed us just like he's describing the church body. The church relationships are just like the way your body works. And I want to tell you, we compensate, we help, we cooperate with one another. And there's a lot of beauty in that. And I want to tell you, this is how you have relationships that build you up, that will cause you to grow. Are the relationships that you're enjoying causing you to grow? Are they causing you to be built up in love? I'm telling you, when you leave the presence of the people that God's put into your life, you ought to be able to say on the way out, man, I'm better than I was just a few minutes ago. I shared, they shared. Hey, it may be iron sharpeneth iron. They might have spoken to my life about some things, but I want to tell you something. I'm better. I'm closer to the Lord. I know I'm more loved as a result of being around them. Somebody say amen. How about debt? I want to tell you, finances can be a real deal. I want to tell you, God loves to be right in the middle of our finances. He loves interaction with us. And he's promised us success in our finances. And I want to tell you, you know how we define success. It's not how much you get. It's how much you can give. Amen. Boy, somebody get there. Deuteronomy 28:12, the Lord shall open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give you the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands, come on, even if it's on a computer, and you shall lend to many, but you shall not borrow. Boy, that's a picture of blessing, isn't it? To be in a position to give and not borrow. Man, I'm not getting big amen on that. That could be a series coming out of that, Isaiah. How about being healthy? You know, God wants you to be healthy. God cares. All right, it's like a doctor looked me in the eye a few decades ago and told me, without your body, you don't have a ministry. I said, thank you. I needed to hear that. Maybe you need to hear something similar, but what I'm saying to you is that God wants and cares for you to be healthy in your body. Wait a minute. Healthy in your mind. Come on. Healthy in your emotions. All right. You already know a series coming on that. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace. In other words, the punishment, he took the punishment for you to have wellness in your soul. He paid the price for your outside body, for your sins, and for the inside part of you. It's beautiful. Peace. He paid for your peace. And well-being. Somebody say it's well with me. I'm telling you, that's Jesus factor. That's not human factor. That's not USA factor. That's Jesus factor. But this is part of his blessing, part of what he paid for, is for it to be well in yourself. Well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. That is beautiful. And that's our Lord, and that's our Lord for you. How about finding real fulfillment and meaning in life? I can't tell you. And look, I'm talking to church people. I can't tell you, when I go to churches, if I'd ask the question, how many of you know that you are in God's will and that you are fulfilling his purpose for your life? I want to tell you, very few hands were raised. If you don't know, if you shoot at nothing, you hit it every time. Please understand that God has a will, a perfect will, and he has a purpose for your life. It doesn't mean perfection from you. Hey, man, we're not talking about a polished vessel. We're talking about a submitted vessel, a surrendered vessel. I want to tell you, this is what God wants to do. Hey, Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's own handiwork. We are his workmanship. And may I rush to say, God's not finished with me yet. Oh, yeah, see, that's a big amen. Well, God's not finished with you yet. Amen. Okay, that's about the same. Thank you for that. We are God's own handiwork, His workmanship. We're recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works, wait a minute, for which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in Him, that we should live it out. I'm telling you, that's what God wants. You say, well, I'm late to the game of life. I want to tell you, God is the one that redeems the time. Humans can't, God can, and He'll redeem the time. Amen? And He has a way of putting you on His path and redeeming the time. Hey, look, your past time is not wasted time because God redeems it. We got to be according to His purpose, right? That's the joy of it. You have a purpose here on this earth, and even though we may share the same goal and the same general purpose, I'm telling you, there are specific things that He's lined out for your life that only you can do. I want to tell you, you touch and speak to people that I don't touch and that I don't speak to. And I want to tell you, there are events in our life. I am sure that there's events in our life that He will prepare you, as Esther would say, for such a time as this. Your time to carry the ball and bring the Lord honor and glory as you cross the touchdown. That we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Wow, that's beautiful. So let's let Father minister hope for your life from His goodness. I'm telling you, when you focus on the faithfulness of God, on the goodness of God, the loving kindness of God, when you get to know Him and know His heart, you see His promises for you. I want to tell you, hope rises. Like this hero in the kingdom, his name was Caleb. Don't let giants and difficulties or obstacles that seem to stand in your way, don't let them stop you from the giant-sized, kingdom-sized inheritance that belongs to you, paid for you. Let's ask the Lord. I'm sending out a double dare to saints today to ask the Lord to show you His hope and dreams for you. I'm telling you, He plants dream seeds in our hearts. He's the one that causes them to come to pass. Let the promises of God have your name on it. Now, I get a kick at being around the grandkids when it's Christmas time. Amen. Somebody's being the little helper, you know. And they're reading the names on the presents and handing them out. I love to look at their face when their name's called out. Oh, yeah. That's for me. That's got my name on it. And they don't have to have instruction about tearing it off the paper and getting in on it. And they know it's mine. As little Lila would say, me, me, me. Well, I want to tell you something. That's what we got to get to, where that we see the promises of God and we let the Holy Spirit whisper to us and proclaim and show in our heart, this has got your name on it. This promise is yours and it's got your name on it, and you need to open it up and you need to me, me, me. You need to possess it. You need to make it you. Jesus paid for these to be a part of your life. The Bible's full of them. And God's blessing in your life, they're worth fighting for. They're worth overcoming giants. He wants us to possess, not just say amen to them. He wants us to occupy. Isn't that what Jesus said? Occupy till He comes. Peace is worth fighting for. Freedom is worth resisting the enemy for. Somebody say amen. Hey, it's by grace through faith. It's not by self-effort. We learn, and this is our learning curve. We learn to lean on and trust in. Wait a minute. It's a lifetime learning curve. Okay? We learn to lean on, trust in, and depend on Him. The same way we received Christ, according to Scripture, the same way we walk in Him. By grace through faith. He causes us to be overcomers. It's never the type of thing where you can stand up and say, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. No, 1,000 times no. Get out of the way. That person's fixing to fall. I'm telling you, It's depending on the Lord. By grace, all that He's provided. Through faith, our saying yes to Him. And He even gives us the faith to say yes. Come on, somebody. That's how good our God is. God qualified Caleb. Don't you dare sit there. Don't look at me and say, think in your mind, well, I'm not qualified. My name's not Caleb. Hey, God qualified Caleb. He's the same God you have. Don't say you don't have the same opportunities. The ground's level at the cross. God's no respecter of persons, no matter what your education, no matter what your past, no matter what your family. Hey, I'm announcing to you, this means God's no respecter of persons. It means what He's done for another and through another, He'll do with you and through you. Somebody say yes to God. I know what it's like. Man, we see heroes in the kingdom like Caleb, giant slayers, man of faith, who faced and fought his problem in the mountain that God promised, and he received his portion. Come on, your mountain is your portion's your mountain. But when it comes to me, I know how much of a nobody I really am. Come on now. Hey, you may be thinking right now, but I come from a broken family. I've been through valleys of pain. I got too many scars. I'm not a hero, I'm a zero. That's not uncommon language. But be advised, I want to tell you this. Caleb came out of nowhere. You say, well, he was on the bench. No, you couldn't even find him on the bench. Hey, 40 years, you never heard from him. Hey, he wasn't just not on the bench, he was out of the stands. He wasn't just in the stands, he was out of the stadium. Come on, somebody. But you know what? He wasn't out of God's eyes. And God saw his heart, and God sees your heart. And you know what God said about him, about Caleb? He will follow me with all of his heart. God said he had a different spirit because he would follow him wholeheartedly. That's something all of us can do. And if you're not doing it, you can start doing it. It's called repentance. It means change direction. Change your mind. And so where had he been for 4 decades? Well, he was born and raised a slave. You can't get any lower. Exodus 3. This is what the Lord says. I've surely seen the affliction of my people. Now look, he was seeing Caleb. He was seeing the affliction of Caleb. I want to tell you, he sees the affliction of you. We have a great high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. You say, well, nobody understands. They probably don't. But God does. I'm telling you, he's got your number. He knows exactly what's happening in your heart and your mind, what's happening in your life. He's heard the cry of their taskmasters and oppressors. He's heard your cry. You may think that your cry bounced off the ceiling. God hears it. He says, I know there's sorrow, suffering, and trials. God knows what you've been through. And he says, I've come to deliver them out of the hand and the power of the Egyptians and to bring them out into a land good and large, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's God's promise of the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give us and to take care of us and bless us and rescue us in the middle of all the ites around us. He sets a table before us in the very presence of all the ites around us. Verse 9, now behold, the cry of the Israelites has come to me, and I have also seen the Egyptians oppress them. God sees, God hears. Amen. You may think nobody knows. God does. And I want to tell you, hey, he's on your side. Very, very important that you're on his side because he's already on your side. That's what happened when Jesus came to the earth. When he sent Jesus, he said, I'm on your side. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, this is what happens to those of us that have received Christ. Then we receive the directive from Jesus, go get the others. There's a bunch of them out there that's bound up, that's lost. Go get them. Bring them back. Okay, let's make disciples out of them. Go tell them all the good news. And so he wasn't born into a good family. He didn't have the opportunities handed to him on a platter. He was not selected. He was not groomed. He was not trained to be a somebody. As a slave, he was a nobody. Remember, in Hebrew, his name means dog. Hey, I'm telling you, his name even identifies him as an underdog. I want to tell you, that touches me because I was raised cheering for underdogs. You know why? Because I am one. I would not have chosen me. My wife's told me not to say that, and I'm saying it again. I wouldn't have chosen me. But I want to tell you something. God did. God did. I have a heart for underdogs. I want to tell you, God does too. So get your hopes up. God deliberately chose and he chooses men and women that the culture and society overlooks. He chooses people that the society exploits and abuses. He chooses those that society wouldn't choose. He chooses the nobodies, get this, to expose the hollow, pretending somebodies. I got caught by surprise on a radio interview one time, and they asked me, what do you want to be remembered as? Well, I don't think along those lines. So, boy, I was caught completely off guard, and I kind of fumbled around there a little bit, and they say, well, just tell us at your funeral what you want to be said of you. And it just came out. You know, the bottom line is that, you know what? I want to be remembered as the guy who believed in and cheered for the underdogs. Someone that was willing to take underdogs and hand them the torch and help them stand up and do what God called them to do. Now, I want to tell you, that was not in the notes anywhere, and I was caught by surprise, but it came out okay. Because you know what? That was really my heartbeat. I want to tell you, that's God's heartbeat. Okay, now sometimes it's backfired on me. Sometimes I've chosen people too quickly. Sometimes I've put my faith and trust and poured my life into people that turn around and don't, you know. But I want to tell you, those that do make it all worth it. 1 Corinthians 1, 27, 28. This is in the Message Bible. I don't know if, do I have it in Amplified too? I do? Okay. Isn't it obvious, this is the Message Bible, isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses and chooses these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? Is that clear? Let's see it in Amplified. God selected, deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame. Wow, isn't that clear? And what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame. God chooses people we wouldn't choose. Aren't you glad? Yes. Well, I am. That's who God is. He's a God of grace. Hey, listen. This is the beauty of the Lord. Hey, grace favors the last, the lost, and the least. I'm telling you, that massages my heart. I got to say it again. He favors the last, the lost, and the least. That's the nature of grace. That's God's undeserved favor. Like water will seek out the lowest place, right? God's grace finds you in the pit or wherever you are. The pit of failure or the pit of the biggest mess. Or how about this? In the middle of a dysfunctional family, God finds you. How about your scary past? God goes right past it to you. How about your bad choices? Yeah, in spite of your bad choices, he comes to you. Your bad choices don't keep God from coming to you. Don't let another bad choice keep you from receiving him. Get your hope in God. Hey, Romans 5:20 says this, but then the law came in to expand and to increase the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting oppositionally. And look at this, but where sin increased and abounded, because sin increases and abounds. You may look at your life and say, that's a no-no room in my heart. I want to tell you, God says it's a yes room. He paid for that room to be given to him. And he'll come in and clean that room out, and he'll put light in it, and he'll bring it to a place where that room brings him the honor and glory, and it may end up being the room of honor in your life. That's what God loves to do. But where sin increased and abounded, grace... Let's all say grace has surpassed it. In other words, ran right past it. overwhelmed it, and increased the more, and superabounded. I love to say that word, superabounding grace. It's precisely the areas that you're the weakest in. Come on now. God's not scared of your weaknesses, so you don't be scared of them. You know what you do? You surrender them. And God takes those weakest areas, those areas that's the most messed up, and he causes grace to rise. And wait a minute now, to superabound in your life. From a zero to a hero. I love Romans 5:21, so that just as sin has reigned in death, grace might reign also through righteousness, which issues in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:17 is one of my favorites. For because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, and it's free, and the free gift of righteousness, it's free. This is all from God. It's not your doing, it's God's doing. We're the receivers. And the free gift of righteousness with grace and the righteousness of Christ, we will reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. According to this, his grace and his righteousness, you grab hold of those and hold on to them, and he will cause you to rule in this life. He will cause you to be a hero and not a zero. Man, that's what God loves to do. He'll cause us to reign in life as overcomers and more than conquerors. So see past your mountains and giants. See the promises as your portions. And don't let those disadvantages, because the enemy had tried to talk you out of it, and we've cooperated with them way too long. Don't let those disqualifications make you feel lousy about yourself, because when God sees you, he sees his son, he sees the blood, he sees you through the eyes of the Lamb that paid the price for all your disqualifications to be completely erased. Those very areas, the areas that you feel lousy about, have had failure in, God will use his grace. He'll come flooding in and to overflowing. But you got to see it and you got to say it. Wherever grace goes, restoration and transformation becomes obvious. Let's be clear. Underdogs become giant killers because of our champion, Jesus. He always leads us into triumph. Your past, your failures, your weaknesses are not to hold you back from the good life Jesus paid for you. From the abundant life that Jesus paid for you in this life. You're not trapped. No excuses or reason. Don't throw in the towel. Don't you dare say, well, I was abused when I was little. Well, I'm so sorry. I hate that. I want to tell you, that's not to limit you from experiencing God's best. You're not trapped. Don't throw in the towel. You've been told a lie that things will never change for you. That's a lie. Because he is transformation power. Because of God's grace, God is on your side. Somebody say, God's on my side.
God's on my side.
And that's why that you can boast in your weaknesses. You don't have to hide them. You don't have to pretend they don't exist. You don't have to stuff them down. You don't have to lie about them. You don't have to live a lie. You can be honest and open and say it in a way that's trusting God for increase.
Amen. That's true.
God wants you to see even your weaknesses as a reason to celebrate, because you know grace is coming. God's going to show himself mighty in this area. This may be the very area that God uses me to catapult me into realms of glory I've never known. They set the stage for the supernatural. Somebody see that. God did it for Caleb. Nobodies to somebodies in Christ. Zeros to heroes through Christ. And so let's do this. This is what we do with our weaknesses and our flaws. We surrender them. And you know what? God gives fresh hope, fresh pictures, fresh words, fresh visions of how he can turn them around for your good and his glory. Let's all give God praise.
Amen,
amen, amen, and amen. Well, we thank you for joining us today. Man, our heart is to see the Lord do a continual work in you. Hey, the more we follow him, the freer he gets. All right, don't limit God with small-mindedness. Don't limit God with condemnation of what's gone wrong in the past. Jesus paid for every mistake you ever made. Jesus paid more than enough for every rejection of Him, so that you can come by His blood, because of His blood, you can come freely, you can come boldly, and you can come say yes to God and begin the journey of letting the Lord transform your life. Listen, you try to do it on your own, you've already done that. Where did that get you? You come and let God transform your life by cooperating, yielding, and submitting to Him. Hey, being dependent on God is a key, because it's humility to receive His grace. Let's depend on Him. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray for breakthrough this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus that the lies and the condemnation of the enemy and from the world, from humans, from family, even from ourselves, Lord, we cast that down in the name of Jesus. We bring that into the subjection and obedience of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because of your obedience on the cross, these thought patterns, these strongholds are broken in the name of the Lord. And by your works, we decree and declare your freedom. And Lord, our heart is free to hunger after you. Our heart is free to say yes to you. Our heart is free to receive your love and your word by your Spirit, your power to transform us into what you want us to be and do what you want us to do. Thank you, Lord, for great grace. And all the people said, amen, amen, and amen. We love Jesus. We love His word. You know what? It's a process, isn't it? God's not finished with us.